Today, I'm going to share a little bit about how to connect with yourself from the Buddhist perspective. And actually, I will lead this talk from my experience that how I connect with myself first. And actually, Brenda already told a little story about me. I was born in the Tibetan refugee camp in Balakupi in South India. And I was raised up as a very ordinary boy in the refugee camp till 17. And never imagined or never expected to become a spiritual master in the society. And suddenly, one day, I saw my father was waiting and at the lobby where I studied in the northern part of India. And I was walking down the stair to meet my father. And that was the most strangest thing that I have ever seen in my life, that my father was bowing his head, folding his hand, and looking not directly into my eyes. He was looking down with a full of respect, looking at me. And I thought, I never seen such a respectful manner father being to his son, because he was a tough guy. And he used to comment me that, do this, don't do this. If you do this, I will hit you, or something like that. So I couldn't believe my eyes that his behavior was such a strange at that time. And I thought somebody was behind me. And I looked back, and there was nobody. And I was thinking, that is a strange thing. Why my father was paying respect for me? And I went to him, and I said, Dad, how are you? Why you came here? Taking a long journey from South India to North India, 45 hours in train, without mentioning anything that he was coming. And he wasn't talking to me at all. He looks nervous. And here, there was the one ordinary high school boy. And his father was nervous in front of this teenage son. And his hand went into his pocket and took the letter out of his pocket. And he handed this letter with his two hands with a very respectful way. And I took this letter, and I look at the letter, and the letter was from His Holiness the Dalai Lama. So what does in that letter says is, it says that my name was different at that time. Chönjur Tuntup, I am going to recognize you as the reincarnation of Zachuje Rinpoche. And when I first saw it, I was stunned. I was thinking, is that true or is that dream or what? And I couldn't handle that. And I was overwhelmed by that situation. And I took this letter and I went to my room. I told that my father, and actually there was few delegation members at that time that I don't know them, and who are doing prostration toward me. And I took this letter and I went to my room just to think about it. Because now it is a completely different. You used to think that you was a different person, ordinary boy, and now somebody is telling you that you are not what you think, you are something different. So I went into my room and again I thought about it. Okay, is that true? Is that real? And I felt really honored, actually, to receive a letter, personal letter from His Holiness Dalai Lama. And I used to have a lot of faith at that time when I was in high school. I used to think that he was not a human being, he was a living Buddha. That was, you know, because I kind of like had this kind of strong faith. So it was really honor and privilege to have this kind of letter from him. And in the other hand, here I don't know what to do. You know, if I take this or accept this, there is no way that I, at that time, I will never say that I will not accept, because it was the letter from Dalai Lama. Then I thought about it and I told myself that, okay, calm down. You should think about it. And then I asked some people, but it was a very strange situation at that time that the news spread like a wildfire all over the school. And now all the people who are in that school now start looking at me like, oh, he was not our ordinary friend. Now he is a different person. Well, anyway, just there was a lot of things happen at that time. And then I finally accepted myself as a reincarnation of Zatsuji Rinpoche from outside. But still, I didn't completely accept from my mind. That was, I was a little bit struggling at that time. And then I went into the monastery and I studied there. And for 2 years, it took me 2 years to understand myself, actually to connect with myself, that I wasn't sure who am I. And after studying in the monastery, then I came to know that it is really important for the spiritual journey to connect with yourself. And how I did that, that part I want to share with you tonight. Actually, like from when I was first studying in the monastery, we studied about five aggregates. I don't know if you are familiar with the five aggregates. That is the basic foundation of all the phenomena, all the thing, existing things. And especially it is like our basic things. So I learn about these five aggregates and I learn how to go beyond these five aggregates of myself, and then I kind of experience that how I should connect with myself after going beyond this. So, five aggregates. I don't know how many of you have heard this terminology, five aggregates. Can you raise your hands? Okay, so many of you didn't heard about the five aggregates in the Buddhism. Five aggregates in the Sanskrit word, it says five skandhas. Five skandhas, okay? And five aggregates are mainly counting as going first as a physical form is the first one, okay? Physical form is the first aggregates. And then feeling is the second. And then perception is the third. And compositional factor or mental activity is the fourth. And the consciousness is the fifth. Okay, so now you understand five aggregates, right? Five aggregates. We already have a five aggregates, just we have to know the terminology. Like, for example, like ourselves. We have a five aggregates, that the physical body that we have, that is the physical form, the first aggregates. And the feeling, we all know about feeling, right? We all have a good feeling, bad feeling, neutral feeling that we have. That is the second. And then perception, that how we see things and how we perceive things, like a determination within our mind, that we determine things like, okay, this is good, this is bad, this is something, this is, you know, a flower, or this is a house, or this is chair, this is something. Everything kind of like these things are like a mental perception, that we all have this perception. And then the fourth one, called a compositional factor, it is, in another word, it is a activity of mind, or it's called a mental activity. It is mainly composing, like when a mind activity, when our mind do the function, when our mind work, that is called a compositional factor. That is the fourth one. And then the fifth one is the consciousness. So we all have a five aggregates within us. You know, five aggregates are part of us. And we are all the wholeness of these five aggregates. Just the whole. So that is why in the Buddhism, we say that if you want to search for yourself, how can you find yourself? To find yourself, to know who you are, we have to know our five aggregates. If we don't know our five aggregates, then there is no way that we can find ourselves. Because these five aggregates are parts of ourself. So these five aggregates, mainly, exist in a different way. The physical body that we see, that is the world where we live. And most of the people in this world, ordinary people, we live in the physical world. And we try to go beyond that, but many times we are blocked. So that is what we call a spiritual block, actually. So this, to understand who we are, we have to go beyond that. We have to go deeper. We have to go deeper into ourself. To go deeper into ourself is going from the physical world and then into the feeling world and then into the perception world and then into the mental activity world and then into the consciousness, and then beyond consciousness there is I. There is a self. There we can find who we are. So I will just show you through the analogy of onions, okay? Everybody knows onion, right? And that is the analogy of finding the self. So if you want to search for the onion, how can you find the real onion? Actually, if we take the layers one by one of onion, onion is just a collection of the layers. If you peel off each layers, then you will not find onion there. Onion is just a collection of these all layers. Same thing, we are like that. We are the collection, or we are the one whole of five aggregates. And if you peel off one layer after another, first take off the physical, then again there is another. And second, peel off the feeling, again there is a perception world. And if you peel off the perception, there is a mental activity. And after mental activity, there is a consciousness. And if you take off the consciousness, there is nothingness. So that is why it says that if you find for the real solid self within the five aggregates, you will not find. But how can we find ourselves? Is after understanding, after realizing that we have all these layers of five aggregates, then looking at ourselves as the wholeness of these five aggregates. That is us. That is ourself. So that is a good way to understand ourself. And we always think, our ordinary mind, our ego-oriented mind, how does it think about ourselves? Mainly, we think ourselves as this physical body. And if we go deeper, then we will find that this physical body is not me. And beyond our physical body, there are many things. One philosophy that stuck in my brain that I always like in the Buddhism when I was studying is, I like that philosophy. It says that you are not within your physical body, your physical body is within you. So now, how do you think? Whenever we think about of ourselves. Whenever we think, we always think that I am within my physical body, right? We all think that I am within this physical body. When this physical body dies, then I leave from this physical body. So we put ourselves as real small. It is smaller than this physical body. But in reality, we are not within this physical body. So now it is a different feeling. It is a different perception. It is something that I am bigger than my physical body. So it means that your physical body is just a part of you. As the feeling is part of us, as the perception is also part of us, and mental activity is also a part of us, and consciousness is also a part of us. It is just a part. So, and who we are one, this whole thing. So we have physical body, we have a feeling, we have a perception, we have a mental activity, we have a consciousness. So if we start thinking in that way, then that is the first step to connect with ourselves. So if you got this philosophy in your mind, then you are taking the journey, spiritual journey, to connect with yourself. As we all know, to connect with ourselves, first of all, we have to know who we are, right? If we don't know who we are, then where we are going to connect with ourselves? So, like, for example, most of the people, we live in the physical world. We live in the physical world and we identified ourselves with the physical body. We identify other people with the physical body. And that is the only world that we know. That is the only world that we live. That is why many people are scared to die. Because people think that if I don't have this physical body, then where I am? I lose my identity. Where I am. So in reality, to find ourselves, we have to go beyond the physical body. So it is mainly like we are living in the physical world and we are afraid. We have fear. You know, we have a lot of fear to go beyond this physical body. And like, for example, many of you have been practicing meditation. So in the meditation, like, for example, for mindfulness meditation, how do the meditation start? Meditation starting with your breathing meditation. So breathing meditation is like, first, you are going into yourself in your physical body. And after physical body, then there is a feeling. Then mindfulness on your feeling. And after that, mindfulness on your consciousness. And after being mindful with your consciousness, then mindfulness with the other phenomena, the rest of the existence. That is the step of the four mindfulness. So from that point of view also, it is showing us that how to connect with ourselves. We have to go, it is like on the surface level, like how do we exist? We exist in a form of like many layers. The first layer is our physical world. And beneath that physical world, there is a feeling. And this like surface, actually, we exist as an ocean. We exist as an ocean. Like, for example, you look at the ocean, how does the ocean exist? Ocean, on the surface level, it exists with a lot of waves. And underneath that, there is a little, like less than the surface, but then, like, still, there is a movement. That is like a feeling. And underneath, like, if you go deeper and deeper into the ocean, then, like, under, like, the ground, is the ocean is clear and there is not that much movement, and it is calm and clear. Same thing, we exist like that. So only thing, if we want to connect with ourselves, how do we have to go, is we have to go through these layers. First, go from the physical, and then go deeper into the feeling world. And then feeling, after feeling, then go into the perception world. And then after feeling, you know, perception, you go into the mental activity and then consciousness. And where our consciousness is, it is very calm and clear. When you connect yourself with the consciousness, actually you are not already connected with yourself, but you are reaching there in the calmness state. That is like you are connecting with your mind nature. So that is why great Indian master Dharmakirti, in his text, in his logic text, what he said, and he said is, nature of mind is bright and clear. Stains of the mind is temporary and removable. So That is like, that is the whole philosophy beyond. In the Buddhism, we are talking about the Buddha nature. When we talk about the Buddha nature, we say that each and everybody, each sentient being, we all have a Buddha nature within our mind. And what is that Buddha nature? Is that brightness, that clearness, that pureness of within our consciousness, that is the Buddha nature. So if we connect with our consciousness, then we will know the nature of our mind. Once we know the nature of our mind, then we will be a completely different person. And we will be very proud of ourselves. And we will be content with what we have. And we will not search that much for something from the outside material. If we don't go underneath all these five aggregates, then we will be searching for something in this surface level, but we will not find anything from this surface level. We will never find, like in the whole history, like if from the scientific point of view or from the, you know, our historical point of view, say our history goes back till 5,000 years, right? And from this 5,000 years till now, how many people has find a real thing that we are searching for, that people are searching from the outside material? Nobody. Right? From the outside material, nobody found anything. And many people, what they did? They did is they tried to gain power, they tried to gain friend, they tried to gain wealth, they tried to gain many, many things from the surface level. But anyone has achieved an eternal wealth or life or happiness from the surface. And there are few people in the whole history that found, you know, who found something. And those people, they never searched from the outside material. What they did is they went deeper into their self. They went from their physical world into the feeling world and then to the perception and sees the nature of perception, how our perception is, you know, motivating our fear or causing our fear and feelings. And then they went deeper into the mental activities, and then they connect with their consciousness. Also, they gone beyond this consciousness, and then they find themselves. And then only they start the journey toward the enlightenment state of mind. So if we are looking for the enlightenment state of mind or everlasting happiness state of mind, that is what we all are, right? We all are looking for happiness. We all sentient being, we all human being right now, everybody in this room, you know, we all wanted to be happy and nobody wanted to be suffer. And we are searching for happiness. And I'm telling you that we will never find everlasting happiness if we keep living in this physical world. Surface. On the surface, there is a lot of shake. There is a lot of turbulence, and there is a lot of things. And sometimes it becomes like a habit to live on the surface because we are feared to go deeper. We are feared to go deeper, and that is something like we are become habitual patrons to live on the surface, and we say, okay, this world is full of suffering and I will just handle it. And we just start living. And I don't know, if I go deeper, maybe there is more suffering. That is why maybe better I just live on the surface. And that is why we always fear, actually. We fear to be happy. That is what I'm telling you. We fear. Now, some of you must be thinking that if I wanted to be happy, why I'm feeling fear to be happy? But just ask yourself, what is happiness? And don't stuck yourself in the circumstances. When we stuck in the circumstances, then we look for the happiness in a different way. For example, if we don't have a friends, and we are having suffering from not having a friends, and we stuck in that circumstances, and if you ask that person, what is happiness? That person will say, finding a good friend is the happiness for that person. But in reality, it is not. It is worldly happiness, but it's not everlasting happiness that we are searching for. So that is why when we ask ourselves, what is happiness, you should always look at the bigger picture and don't let yourself stuck into the circumstances. Go away from these circumstances and look at your whole life, not only this life, maybe look at the many previous life also, and look at it as a whole picture and find out what is happiness. And from the Buddhist point of view, happiness is not a pleasure. Happiness is not only a joy. Happiness is an absence of suffering. When you don't have any suffering, when your mind is in a peace, that moment we say that is the happiness. So that is why also, like, we don't go deeper into ourselves. We stuck in the surface and we fear to go deeper into the feeling. And we fear to be happy. And also, happiness is freedom. Happiness is freedom. We all want it to be free. And we don't want to be the dependents on our karma. And we all want it to be free. And freedom is scary for many people. Like deep our unconscious, we fear to be free. What is meant by freedom? Why we fear to be free? Because to be free means to take a whole responsibility on your hand. And that is what we fear for. We fear to take a whole responsibility, full responsibility on our hand. That is why we like if there is somebody responsible for us. That is why we like if there is somebody who we can blame to. And it is the sign that we are not taking responsibility on our hand. It is something that, for example, people who believe in God, what do they think? Is they put all responsibility on the God. And people who have a lot of faith toward Buddha and Avalokiteshvara or Tara or, you know, these like deities, Kalachakra or many deities, like from the Buddhist point of view also. What do people do? People put a lot of responsibility on them that they don't, the person, individual, they don't want to take responsibility. And that is why we like it if there is somebody who can take our responsibility, and we will be happy to blame them if something went wrong. That is why I said we are fear to be happy, because we are fear to be free, because freedom is taking full responsibility on your hand, on yourself. And that part makes us to feel fear to be happy. So it is very strange that we stuck in these circumstances, that we all wanted to be happy, but at the same time, we feel fear to be happy. So now we don't know what to do. We are confused. From our heart, we like to be happy, and then here from head, it is saying, be careful. Because maybe it is scary, it is unknown. We never had experienced any happiness, real happiness before. Maybe it is something different. Beware. That is what our head is saying. So there is a struggle within ourselves that we wanted to be happy from our heart, and then our head is blocking that with the fear, saying that be careful. And that is why we are fear to be happy. It's the same thing with the love, compassion. Naturally, we all like to be loved. We all like to love. We all like to feel compassion for all sentient beings. That is why we all like to be a kind person, warm-hearted person, compassionate person, right? We all like. But at the same time, what is blocking us? Fear is blocking us to become a nice person. Fear is blocking us to become a compassionate person. Because we like to feel compassion for all the sentient being, but at the same time, we fear to feel compassion for all the sentient being. That is the same. We all like to open our heart to everybody, but we fear to open our heart to everybody. And we like to trust somebody, we fear to trust somebody. And see, we like to be happy and we fear to be happy. So now, if we really wanted to be happy by connecting ourselves with our own nature, then we have to get away or beyond this fear. So how can we go beyond this fear? Is by going deeper into ourself. By going deeper into ourself, we already live in this physical world, and we have to move forward instead of moving backward, or instead of resisting ourselves to going forward. There is a lot of resistance within ourselves to go forward. And many times, people don't want to go within their feeling. Like we live in this physical world, and we are fear to go deeper into our feeling world. Because we have a lot of negative feelings, hurt feeling from our past. And there is a lot of stuff inside our feeling that we don't want to face. And we are scared. We are not brave enough to face our own feeling. That is why we are running away from our feeling. That is why we are always living on the surface level. Because if we go deeper into our feeling world, we are afraid that maybe I can see or I can experience a lot of many different feelings. So we are fear to go deeper into the feelings. That is why, for example, when people has a bad feeling, when they cannot deal with their feeling, for example, hurt feeling, what do many people do in the world? Best place is to go to the bar, right? To run away from the feeling world, best place that people do is going to the bar and try to do many activities to forget what they are feeling. and intoxicated themselves with something. And when you are intoxicated, when you are drunk or when you are high or something, that you don't feel your feeling and you forget your feeling for a while. But then the chemical, what's it, potential went. Then again you are same person. And again you have to try so hard to forget that feeling. And keep for, you know, trying to forget and trying to forget, and that doesn't work. So, and sometime when people, instead of going forward, when they have a really bad feeling, they go backward and they try to, even they don't want to live on the surface and they fear to go deeper and they fear to, they don't want to live on the surface, what they do is they go away from this physical body by suiciding. And that is not good. It is like you are running away from, even like from the surface. Then from the surface level, there is no way to run away because there is nothing. If we, the Buddha was saying that if we really want to be happy, then move forward instead of going backward. And that is why to connect with ourself is first we have to know what are the five aggregates, and after understanding five aggregates, and then instead of dwelling on the surface, what step we should take is we should go deeper. It is not scary. It is just within ourselves. If we just keep ignoring, it will not go away. It will stay there. So best thing to connect with ourselves is go deeper. Go deeper into ourselves. I'm not telling you to go into the Himalayas. I'm not telling you to go into the river Ganges. And I'm not telling you to go somewhere to find yourself. Yourself is within yourself. You know, so go deeper into your, from this physical world, into your feeling worlds, and then perception, and then mental activities, and then go deeper into the consciousness world. And then you will find yourself as a wholeness of these five aggregates. And the best way for you to do in your general, regular life, just take yourself few minutes from your 24 hours in a day. Within 24 hours a day, 5 minutes is just nothing. You know, just take 5 minutes for yourself and think, relax your physical body and think and try to go deeper into yourself. And by breathing meditation, first breathing meditation and then slowly go deeper into your feeling and be brave to face your feeling. And when you face your feeling, then it is not really big as we thought. We are scared because we thought maybe that's scary or something like that. And if we face our feeling by watching, just watch your feeling. And then just feeling is not that much scary. And we will understand a lot of things from there. It is like exploring ourselves into the feelings world. And then you will find, after feeling worlds, go more deeper into the perception. And actually, perceptions or the determination of our mind is the main for us. How we perceive the thing, and that leads us into the feeling. So, perception world. So that is mainly in the Buddhism we are talking about right view, and right thoughts are into that perception world. And we will see how these are connected. Perception leads into a feeling, and feeling leads into a physical reaction. That is, you know, we will understand how all this works. And that is a good sign if we are going into that things, and even if we feel a little scary, it is okay. So my suggestion is just to go deeper into yourself by understanding the five aggregates and then touch yourself with your consciousness and then think yourself as the one wholeness of five aggregates. And that is what I learned in the Buddhism, and that is how I connected myself with my own self. And if I can do that, I think, why don't you? Why can't you? Right? So if you want to be a happier person, then first find yourself and connect with yourself. So that is what I want to share with you. Thanks. We have 5 minutes for question and answer.
when you were told that you were this other person, how did you integrate that? How did you accept that you really were this whole other person? How did you do that?
At the beginning, the only reason why I was not accepting from my mind was that in my back of mind I was saying, if I'm that person, why can't I remember my past life? That is my question coming from my mind. And for that, I found out that it is not the valid reason that I was thinking. You know, if you were that person, you don't need to remember exactly that you are that person. No, very clearly, you don't have to remember your past life.
Did you ever feel connected to that past life?
Can everybody hear the question? No. Can you repeat the question so they know? What? Maybe you have to, because she doesn't have mic.
Okay.
Did you feel connected to your past life?
So the question was, did you feel connected with my previous life, right? Mm-hmm. To be honest, I don't feel really clear connection in my mind. But there was a very sometimes unconscious feeling, or sometimes I have a very not clear feeling that something like, what's it, in American word, déjà vu, right? It's a French word, right? It's a French. So sort of like that, when I meet the people who were my previous life students, feels like, okay, even though I didn't see them before and I didn't know them before, I just felt like, okay, I know them, but I don't really clearly don't know why I have kind of this kind of feeling. And at the same time, the biggest reason that why I accepted myself, how I integrate myself into being a dead person, is as a ordinary boy, high school boy, and we have one religion class in our school. And I'm not a good student. I don't study that much good when I was in the school. And I don't get that much good grades in the other subject, other class, but I always get really good grade in the religion class about Buddhism, Buddhist philosophy and religion. And there is something that even though if I don't study that much, I get it very fast. And the same thing happened when I went into the monastery. Usually it takes like 25 years to graduate from the monastery to get a Geshe degree. That is what we call Geshe, like graduating from the monastery. And I studied in 10 years instead of studying 25 years. And how did I finish that is because it seems very easy for me to understand everything. So that makes me like to accept myself as something that I studied before, but I'm not really kind of clearly remembering. That is, yeah.
Is that cheating?
You say?
Is that cheating?
Is that cheating? Little bit. I'm taking advantage of my previous life. Okay. Yeah.
Do you think everyone can go through this self-discovery by themselves, or do you think some people need some sort of guidance? What are your insights on that?
Okay, so your question is, do everybody has to discover by themselves, or do they need some guidance from some people to say that that is you? So from my story, it is pretty sure that I had a guidance, right? That if I stayed in that, maybe I don't know in what state I am right now, I will be, you know? And in my case, it was like a little bit like a guidance that my spiritual master, you know, His Holiness Dalai Lama, said that you are the reincarnation of that. But I think not for everybody, it is not necessary. Maybe just kind of like a guidance. You need a guidance, for example, like I'm telling you tonight, like sharing my experience, how I connect with myself. And that is also that you can think about that. And thinking about the five aggregates and going more deeper and deeper, you know, and then you will find or discover yourself. So in some point, that is kind of depends on individual difference. For some people, they need the guidance. For some people, you know, they can go themselves, if they are brave enough to go within themselves and then discover their real self. So it is an individual difference. Yeah.
How did the Dalai Lama meet you before you recognized you, or how does that work?
Actually, no, I never met him before. I saw him giving some public talk when he comes to the Tibetan refugee camp to give a teaching and these public talks. And I was just wandering, running here and there when he was giving a public talk. So I never met face to face, you know, before I become a Rinpoche. It is mainly how he recognized was my previous life, as Brenda was telling before, that was died in the Chinese prison camp. And they took him into the prison in 1958, and actually he died in 1962. And the people of that region, they didn't know that he was passed away in the prison till 1975. So that is why my recognition of reincarnation was been a little late. And after they released many people from the prison camp around 1975, then some people from that region, they told their monastery that their master was passed away in the prison in 1962. So then they rushed, writing a letter to India, saying that our master is passed away. So, you know, we don't know how to do it under this communist pressure. So could you ask Dalai Lama to help for that? So that is why Dalai Lama accepted to, you know, help to recognize the reincarnation of my previous one. And he did a special divination, and through his divination he found that the reincarnation was born in southern India, and then he told the delegation member to get the names of the boys who are 16 and 17, and then the names goes to His Holiness, and His Holiness did the whole examination and investigation for all these names, and then He says that, yeah, this is the boy that is the reincarnation. So that is how He recognized. Yeah. Okay, so sorry for raise a lot of questions. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.